God. Isaiah chapter 1 tonight. Good to be saved, ain't it, church? I tell you, it really is. It's a joy to be in God's house tonight. And no matter how much the devil fights us tonight, it's always good to be saved and good to know the Lord. Amen. But Isaiah chapter 1. Boy, had a good time this morning in the Lord's house preaching on being committed, having a commitment and that to the Lord. But I want to preach tonight out of this chapter, if we could. I ask you to stand one more time and that to reverence the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 1. And I want to pray and then we'll preach tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We certainly need you more than anything. Lord, there's nothing we can do in ourselves. I understand that and realize that tonight. But with your help, Lord, and with the moving of the Holy Spirit tonight, we know that this message will go out and do what it's supposed to do. And Lord, we just certainly need you tonight. We pray that you'd help the one that might be lost, that they might come and get saved. I may be here a young man or a young lady, man or woman, that might be lost. And I pray they'd get saved tonight. And Lord, we just ask tonight that you'd just help the one that has a need. I pray that you just guard our mind and our thoughts tonight. And Lord, we're just truly begging for heaven's help tonight. And Lord, let me be able to preach without fear and favor. And let me be able to preach and act with power from on high. And Lord, we thank you for Calvary and for what it means to us. We're just depending to you and looking to you for all the help that we can have tonight for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 1 tonight, let's begin to read. And the Bible says the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth the owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. And the Dane and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the callings of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, leave the oppressed, and judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. And come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You can be seated tonight. As I read these first 20 verses in the chapter 1 in the book of Isaiah, when Israel had rejected God, they had rebelled against the Lord. As a matter of fact, it says right here that they were in rebellion in verse 2. He said, I have brought up and nourished, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And God had brought Israel through, God had brought Israel out, made Israel a nad out of Abraham, and called a nation and brought them down to the land of Egypt and under persecution and under bondage. Made them to grow and made them to just multiply more and more and more. And then finally, I brought them up out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And there they rebelled against God. The Bible talks about them right here in verse 3 and talks about them in verse 4, how that they did not know God. Sounds much like our nation today. I'm not going to preach on our nation, but as I read this, I thought about this. I thought about our nation. I thought about the shape that we're in today. Listen, our nation exists solely because of God created us. Our nation is as much as the liberals. I want to tell us that we were not founded on Christian biblical principles. Listen, all you have to do is look in the Declaration of Independence as it talks about our Creator and how that we were kept by the divine providence and that of heaven. There's no other way to explain that, friend, under that our forefathers believed of a God that rested in heaven. Tonight it said that they rebelled against Him. They did not consider God. Let me say that we've got a nation that does not consider God. They do not think about God. They do not think about the consequences of their sins. They do not think that there is a great judgment one day after a while that they're going to stand guilty before an almighty God. But it says right here, He said that they had provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and that they had gone away backward. Matter of fact, He called them a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers and children that are corruptors. Boy, that sounds about like our nation today, don't it? Listen, no wonder we're in the shape that we're in. And then He talks about the sickness that they have from the whole head. He said that they were sick and their whole heart was faint. I've got a message I preached out of that on devilitis sometimes. But listen, as He went on to talk about this, He talked about how God was going to leave them desolate, He was going to turn them into Sodom and Gomorrah just about. And then He shifts gears in verse 11 and begins to talk about their worship that they were bringing to God. I talked about their worship, as a matter of fact, talked about what's the purpose of the multitude of their sacrifices. As a matter of fact, He come down here and asked them a question at one point. He said, who hath required these things at your hand? It was God that had required them. It was God that had put them in the law and said, I want you to bring incense. I want you to bring sacrifice. I want you to keep the new moon and do all these things. But finally, God had just had enough because it wasn't real. To them. Can I say today there's a lot of people in church, but church just ain't real. There's a lot of people in church, but God just ain't real to them. For whatever reason they came, but it wasn't to worship God. It wasn't to get to know God. It was not to get saved from their sin. It was not to learn and grow in God. For whatever reason they were coming, but they were not going to be separated and that from the world. But you find that we get down into verse 16, He begins to encourage them that they can get right. Now, I'm glad that God will let people get right. He pleaded with them, as a matter of fact. He said, wash you and make you clean and put away the evil of your doings. It's almost like in the days of Nineveh with Jonah. Now, listen, Nineveh was a wicked city. And I mean, if you could just imagine all the wickedness that was taking place in that one city. And Jonah walks in there, a day's journey into it that was 3 days wide. And he goes a day's in and he says, yet in 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh. And turns around and walks and sits on the hill. And they decide by the king said, maybe if we repent God, we'll repent Him of the evil. And so from the greatest even unto the least, they put sackcloths and ashes on their cattle and would not let them eat either. And everybody was fasting around that place. And maybe God won't destroy us, he said. And God let them repent. But he said, learn to do well. Well, that's what folk need to do today. And just learn to do well. Seek judgment and relieve the oppressed. What did he talk about? The widows right there. He said, plead for the widows and judge the fatherless. But in verse 18, very familiar scripture, is where I'm going to preach tonight. When he come all the way down to the very end of this thing, he said, come now. And let us reason together. He said, come now. I know this is very familiar scripture. Most of you should know that. But listen, I want to deal with them first two verses that he said right there. Come now. As Israel was in their sin and as Israel was in a place that they did not want to get right with God. They were satisfied to be where they were, but yet God still pleaded with them to get right. I'm determined today that God is still pleading with our nation to get right. I don't think God is done with our nation. I don't think God is at least finished with us. He's still got the church here. We're still to be a light and that to this lost and dying world. And he's saying, come now. Three things I want to look at about coming right now. Do you realize that now is in the present? Yesterday was in the past. Tomorrow be in the future. And there's no guarantee of tomorrow. But now is in the present. You can do something in the now, can't you? You can't fix yesterday. You can't take care of tomorrow because it ain't here. You can do something in the now. And I like being in the now. Amen. I have three things about the now. Let me say that first of all, that you can come now in the call of salvation. You realize that he talks about right here and he says, come now and let us reason together. I saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me say that if you're lost tonight and over on a Sunday night crowd, but no doubt, friend, hey listen, it was on a Sunday night when I got saved. Probably the only lost boy in the whole building. But thank God, God dealt with me. Amen. Listen tonight, I don't know where you're at. In salvation, but I do know this, that if you'll come now, God will save you. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, For he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted in the day of salvation. I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. N-O-W, that means right now. We are not promised tomorrow. You can't get saved tomorrow because tomorrow may never come. But I'm telling you right now, friend, if you come now to get saved, he'd save you right now. Amen. Thank God for that. Listen, what was it in James 4? What did he say there? Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's here for just a little while. I am gone tomorrow. Listen, I know that I'm just 45 years old. But friend, I may not get done preaching this thing. I may not wake up in the morning. And friend, you might not even, you need to know that you're saved tonight. Amen. Ready to go to heaven. Listen, he said, come now. Come now and get saved. Come now and trust Christ and that to save you. Listen, if you'll come, life is going to run out. One day after a while, looking around at everything that is going on about us, I would dare say that Jesus is soon to come. When you, he's going to step out on the clouds of glory one day and receive the church and that unto himself. I listen, and we're going to go up and be with him. I wouldn't want to be left here for the time of the tribulation period. You may think you've got time. What was it that Felix said over there at one time, I believe it was? He told Paul after that he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix said what? The Bible said that Felix trembled and answered and said, go thy way. He said, for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He said, come now. N-O-W means at this moment, right now. When's the last time that we've ever seen anybody really get under Holy Spirit conviction? And boy, just run to an altar to get saved. Been a long time, hadn't it? Listen, I'm talking about now. They got concerned about their soul. How about you? When you got saved, you remember how I was concerned for my soul the night that I got saved? Amen. It's concerned for myself. I hope that you're concerned for yourself. I'm glad tonight that Jesus will forgive whoever will come to Him tonight. Amen. But what was it he said in Romans chapter 5? He said, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath for Him. Do you realize that when you get saved now, you are saved now? You're not waiting to be saved. You're not waiting to get saved. You are saved now. N-O-W. You know, I'm not waiting to find out whether I got saved or not. I'm not waiting to get there and to be judged in my salvation. I got saved the night that I kneeled and asked Christ to save me. I replay that. I guess the older I get, I replay what I can remember of that in my mind. My wife says, you know, the older we get, the more we forget. Amen. And I found that to be true. I found that in probably the past 5 or 6 years, I have let more slip in my mind. And she'll always tell you that I remember stuff that is uncanny to remember sometimes. I forget what we were talking about the other day. And she said, there's no way you can remember that when you were that little. I said, I remember it. I remember that stuff. There's just some things that you can remember. But you know what? Whether I can remember or not, about my salvation is not based in my memory. My salvation is wrote down in heaven tonight. I may lose my mind completely and it may fade away. But listen tonight, I thank God that He's got it wrote down tonight. Amen. But I'm saved now. I got saved in the now and I'm still saved in the now. That ought to excite you tonight. Amen. It excites me tonight. Listen, when that woman come to Him, when they drug her up in the very act of adultery, in John chapter 8, and throwed her down in front of the Lord, and said, Moses in the law declared that we should stone her. Well, what do you say? And finally, after He got done ignoring them, and He just ignored them until He couldn't ignore them no more, and after He had pinned something on the ground, wrote something on the ground there, He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And from the greatest, from the oldest to the least, they began to drop their stones and walk away. And Jesus looked around and He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? And she said, I have none, Lord. Now that's a wonderful thought right there. Jesus didn't come to accuse us of our sin. And Jesus didn't come in that to condemn us in our sin. We were already condemned according to John chapter 3. He came to save us from our sin. And so then He said this in John chapter 8. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Now that's a wonderful statement, ain't it? Neither do I condemn thee. But you know what He said right there? Go and sin no more. People, they live on that first part where He said, neither do I condemn thee, but they just don't want to do that second part where He said, go and sin no more. You know, when you got saved, there should have been a difference. There should have been a change made in your life. Listen, the night that I got saved, that and now just looking back over, the minute I got saved at 14 years old, I was just I believe just barely in high school and raised in church all my life, and I could see to where I was beginning to rebel against my mom and dad. I was beginning to rebel against the things that I was taught in church. I was beginning to get some bad friends at school that I didn't need to be around. And you know, the night that I got saved, things began to change that first week when I went back to school. I remember that now. I mean, I had to think back on some things. But the Lord just kind of opened my eyes on some things. And I listened. There were some friends that I began to change in that first week. And it's almost like they just dropped off the face of the earth. That's gone. Something changed in me the night that I got saved. And I hope that it changed in you. Now listen, I didn't get it right from the start. I'm still trying. I'm not apprehended, as the Apostle Paul says tonight. But I know I got saved. I know I'm different now. And I'm changed now. And I'm saved now. Amen. You can get saved now if you want to get saved. He said, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. It's the Lord who does the saving. But then we come now because of the conviction of sin. Whether it is the sin of omission or the sin of commission. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Most of the sin that I deal in my life a lot of times is the sin of omission. It is the place where I should have done something and I did not do it. You ever been guilty of that? Maybe you should have witnessed to your neighbor. Maybe you should have apologized and said, I was sorry, but you did not do that, whether it was to a friend or whether it was to your spouse. But listen, Or whether maybe you do have a sin of commission, that means that is something you've done that you shouldn't have done. Maybe you said something, done something. There's still things that I am ashamed of what I've done even after I got saved. Now the great thing about it, it took me a little while. The Lord kind of smacked me on the head one day. And I was worried about that stuff. And I mean, why? And I talked to the Lord. And I mean, Lord, why did I do those things? Why, why did I go down that road? And why didn't I know better? And I did know better. But I was like, why just didn't I learn all this stuff? And there had to be growth. That's the thing about growing in the Lord. There's growth, ain't there? There's growth. You don't know everything when you first got saved, did you? I'm still learning. I'm still trying to get some of this stuff figured out. And listen, but there is one thing that I do know, that I don't need to be messing around with sin. I do know that much. Because I understand that from Scripture, how that friend, when sin is in my life, then I'm going to be miserable. I don't want to be miserable. Sin brings misery, don't it? Always does. You can go back and you can look at David's life. He said, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. He begins to talk about his iniquities, the things that he had done. A man that loved God, a man that was, chosen by God to lead Israel and be their king. He ends up committing adultery. He ends up in that killing Uriah. And if you go on out through there, he also numbered Israel when God said not to number. Now let me ask you this question. David committed adultery and had Uriah killed. The baby died. Two of David's children died. And Tamar ended up raped. And that is just a whole mess in itself. But yet David numbers Israel and 70,000 people gets killed. Now let me ask you, which one was the bigger sin? Just asking a question right there. David numbered them and lifted up in pride with Joab telling him not to do it. And he sends Joab out to do all this and he numbers Israel and then he says, don't do it, I don't do it. But yet he done it anyway. And just as soon as Joab comes back with the numbers, the Bible says that his heart smote him. And God turned loose. And listen, God gave him three choices over there. And he said, just let me fall into the hands of God because God will be merciful unto me. David said in Psalms 32, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You may come in here tonight and I look across the crowd and I'd say you're here because you want to be here tonight. I would say nobody twisted your arm, nobody made you feel bad, nobody shamed you to come here tonight. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not in sin, stay out of it. And let this serve as a warning tonight that, friend, if we get into it, then we're going to be miserable in our sin. But you can get right now. If you are in it, if there's anything between you and God, you can deal with it right now. You don't have to carry that wonderment. You don't have to carry that sin with you and let the Holy Spirit whip on you and beat on you and make you miserable. I don't like it when the Lord begins to chasten me in the fact that He's... Now, I like it when He chastens me because I know I'm His. But the very fact, I don't like His chastening. I don't. I mean, I really don't. Who wants to be chastened of the Lord? I mean, I'm just honest tonight. Who wants to be chastened of their parents tonight? Even though the Lord will not chasten us without us needing it. That is for sure. You know, He talks about in Hebrews 12, talks about the chastening of the Lord. You know, and by the way, if you look at Jonah over there, he tried to run from the Lord and couldn't even do that. Tried to get away from God. That's another sin when folk try to get away from the will of God and that He has for your life tonight. Jonah run, didn't he? The Bible tells us, if you look, what was it? He went down and down to Joppa and he went down in the ship and it's going to Tarsus and he gets out there in the middle of that water trying to get away from God and God finds him. No matter where we go, God will always find us. We cannot escape Him. Cannot escape Him. But you can come now and get things right with the Lord in OW. There's no need to go on miserable. If you're miserable tonight, I don't know about your life, but you don't have to be miserable. You can just get right with the Lord. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The prodigal, I preached on him yesterday. And, you know, the prodigal, he had a good time for just a little while. But his little while ran out. And that's what's going to happen when you're in sin. He said, come now and let us reason together. Come now, listen, we come now in that to get right with the Lord, to deal with our sin. But number three, we come now in that for the committing to service. In John chapter 4, the Lord said this to His disciples, say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He said, now. Now's the time to serve. Now's the time to do. Now's the time to work. Now is the time to do what we're going to. I heard a great message on that this morning on the way home. But now is the time. If we're going to do anything, it's going to have to be now. Not tomorrow. Yesterday's gone, but not tomorrow, because tomorrow may not get here. But you're going to have to do it now. If you're going to witness, witness now. You're going to preach, preach now. You're going to sing, sing now. You're going to teach, teach now. If you're going to live right now. We're running out of time. N-O-W. Now. Can I tell you that the Lord needs us now to serve? He said, don't say there yet 4 months and then come at the harvest. What they were saying is, we've planted the seed, and it'll be 4 months before it comes up. And that's not right. The Lord said, if you'll look up, He said, you'll see that the fields are already white to harvest. You're going to do anything, you better do it now. You're going to get folks saved, you better do it now. You're going to warn people, you better do it now. I mean, listen, don't you just want to be better at what you do and better at who you are? Listen, I do. I want to be a better preacher, a better pastor. I just want to be a better me all the way around. If you're going to do it, you better do it now. You better submit to the Lord now. You better sell out to the Lord now. You better give in to the Lord now. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Come now to get saved. Come now to take care of sin. And come now for service. Isaiah, when the Lord said over there, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then said I, here am I, send me. How many of us would be willing to do that? Look up to heaven and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Luke chapter 10, Jesus said to him over here, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You remember the story over there in one of the Gospels where he talks about he went out to find somebody to work in their vineyard, in his vineyard? And he went out early in the morning and he got a whole group of people to go back. And then he went back and he asked them a question, why stand you here idle? And he goes all the way up to the 11th hour and he asks the same question. He said, why stand you here idle? And he puts them to work in the vineyard at the 11th hour. Can I tell you, we're living in the 11th hour. We're at the end. I mean, this thing's rolling up to the very end. It's coming to any one day here soon. I don't know how soon, but Jesus is coming. And if we're going to do anything, better be now. Going to knock on doors, better do it now. Going to visit, better do it now. Win souls, better do it now. The harvest truly is great. Do you catch that? The harvest truly is great. Keeps getting greater all the time, don't it? Keeps getting bigger. The harvest keeps getting bigger. There's more and more people out there to win. More and more people to tell about Christ. More and more people to go to and try to get them. They said, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers into His harvest. Need to go win, folks. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to do it now. N-O-W. Now. You know what now means? Right now. It means now. It means at the present. What are you doing right now? What are you doing in the now? What are we doing? What are we doing as a church? What are we doing in the now? Are we just surviving? Are we doing anything? Are you just surviving or are you doing anything?